Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles and Juan Posada in the Phoenix airport.
In the airport.
First time to do a Catholic Man Show in the airport.
As you know, we appreciate firsts.
I was trying to convince Dave to do the show on the airplane.
On the airplane. That would have been a little crazy. It depends on who we were sitting by. You know, who is
it'd be awesome if we were sitting next to an atheist and he had to listen to the whole
who's
thing.
Around us, you know? Maybe someday it could take place. God willing.
Catholic Mansion 35,000 feet in the air.
So we are at some restaurant bar here in the Phoenix airport waiting for our flight. We're actually kind of cutting it close.
Yes, to try to record this. So we
have enough time to crank out 48 minutes of content and then quickly jump on the plane.
Right. I am leaving for Houston right after when we get back, and so I won't have time to record. And so Dave and I, after the conference, we were so focused on the Catholic Men's Fellowship of Phoenix conference that Dave on the way up here was like, so when are we going to record our episode? And I had not even thought about
what episode?
Yeah, I had not even crossed my mind. And so we're like, well, we're going to have to squeeze this in, but it's going to work out. I think it's going to be okay. The Phoenix Men's conference was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. We had a great time emceeing, our fourth time to MC. We got the jackets.
We did get green jackets and gold bracelets.
It was awesome. Tell them about the promo.
Yeah, so they asked us to make some short videos that they could play before the conference began to get people to sit down. And in one of those videos, we just made a joke about, it's our fourth year. Isn't that the green, don't you get a green jacket on your fourth year or something? You know, because on different anniversaries, you know, there's the diamond anniversary. There's even a paper anniversary.
I did not know that one.
Yeah, I think there's all kinds of ones that you don't know.
Okay.
And so we were just making a joke about getting green jackets or maybe a gold bracelet. So when we showed up to the conference, they did have green jackets and these gaudy plastic gold bracelets for us to wear. It was awesome.
It was hilarious. We had a chance to interview a lot of awesome guests while we were there. Bishop Olmsted, which was so awesome. All these full interviews are going to be available to our patrons.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to become a patron and support the Catholic Man Show, you can go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow.
We got over an hour of content from just people. And there are just so many incredible priests just
in Phoenix.
They're in the Phoenix diocese.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had Father John Hollowell as well, who was a guest at the conference. We got a chance to talk to him. Father Paul Sullivan, Father John Parks. Which Father John Parks, is he not hilarious?
He is probably the funniest guy I've ever met.
And he is just a
dynamite priest. I mean, like, he is an incredible speaker. He is the director of evangelization for the Diocese of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Incredibly smart. You can just tell, like, under the this just joyful, hilarious personality is a deep intellect as well. Because some of the things that he says and the jokes are just so profound. I was telling you that almost everything he says is insightful. Mm-hmm. Everything I hear him say, I say to myself, wow, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
You know, which is hard to do, to just have so much insight. But it's like, man, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Father John Parks. John?
Yes.
Is it John?
Father John Parks, yep.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get him out into Tulsa at some point.
I hope so.
Because he is a blessing. And he's such a great speaker. He gave the homily at the Mass at Phoenix, and I tried to count how many times he said or stumbled. Zero. He get zero times in his homily.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So, I cannot do that.
I cannot either.
I cannot even come close to doing that.
So the conference is phenomenal. The interviews we have are all going to be available to our patrons.
Yep.
We'll put a little bit of clips out there for everybody so that way you can get a little taste of what the interview was.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And now we're headed back home.
Yeah, and so that brings us to here. We're sitting here. I don't even remember the name of this place. We're sitting here in Terminal D of the Phoenix Airport.
Yes.
Waiting to hop on our Southwest flight. And we're drinking some Santan Moon Juice IPA. And let me tell you, we just saw that it was, if the word juice and IPA appear together in a beer, I'll typically order it.
Right.
And I think, Adam, you had the same instinct.
Yep.
Just because juicy IPAs are awesome. I love them. Some people don't like them.
I know.
And I don't understand that.
Some people don't like the bitter.
But these, to me, it's like, this isn't...
They're still bitter, but they're not.
I guess the bitter is there, but to me, it's just not what I notice because the juicy flavor is what catches... That's what I pay attention to, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it is awesome.
It is really good. So, also, I think it probably has to do with that we've been on Exodus 90. We haven't been drinking any beer, so beer is going to taste a little bit better.
Yeah. It is Sunday.
Yes.
So, we do get to relax disciplines today, but also we make an exception for
the Catholic Mansion.
Guys, we have to work.
It's the work.
It's work to do the show.
Yeah. So who's your favorite speaker?
Well, I'd have to say Bishop Olmsted, but that's kind of like, all right, aside.
Obviously. It's
obviously
like, who's
Bishop
your favorite
Olmsted.
Saint? Mary.
Right.
Okay.
Obviously. Aside from Mary. Right. You know, like, if you could go back in time and see, you know, spend time with one person, who would it be besides Jesus, okay? Like,
what's your favorite book besides the Bible?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Even though, like, that's, like, really, the Bible's your favorite book? I mean, I would love to be able to say that personally, but, like, I kind of feel obligated to, like, oh, that's my favorite book because I'm a Christian. But it's just honestly, like, if I think about what book did I read that I enjoyed the most, it's not the Bible. It should be.
Yes.
But
you sinner.
It's more important. I value the Bible more than other books, but it wasn't, like, the most captivating story I've ever read. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So aside from Bishop Olmsted, Father Parks gave a talk on the Mass Explained. And it was just awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't get to hear all of the talks, though. So I didn't get to hear Father Hollowell's talk that he gave. He gave a kind of a 20-minute talk, and I just didn't get to hear it because we were recording with Father Paul. Yeah, so...
One of the things that stood out to me about the conference is that they had an opportunity for Q&A. Throughout the day, all the audience had a chance to submit questions that they would have. And we had a panel of two priests and two laity. And Jonathan Reyes, is that how you say his last name?
I think so.
Nailed it out of the... he was on the panel, and the answers he gave were phenomenal. I mean, they were like... he hit it out of the park.
Yeah, I agree.
They were really... he really impressed me. But also just the quality of questions that were asked by the people in the by the people attending the conference, I really realized, man.
There were some major themes. Mm-hmm. The by far the most popular question, like genre of question, was about oversight in the church, scandal, and just the worthlessness of the USCCB. Those are the questions.
Right.
The number one question.
Not what we're saying. That's just what the question is.
Right. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the USCCB. I mean, I'd be totally fine if they just went away.
Right.
Just stop what you're doing, go home, and do something different.
And take care of your diocese.
Right.
But
and there's only so many, but that kind of question, there's only so many that you can really, in a Q&A session, it's like, yep, okay. Because they're kind of, they end up all being the same answer.
Right. But some of the other questions were about, you know, being able, like, what kind of blessings should I be doing for my children at the end of the night? Or how do I form brotherhood? How do I get men together? How do I revitalize men in the parish and have them take their faith seriously?
Right.
And so that's what I thought, that's what struck me, is that the men there are striving to evangelize, and they're wanting to know, what are the most effective ways to make this happen? How can I reach these guys? Because they're yearning for something, and I'm just not, maybe I'm not being able to reach out to them effectively.
I think my favorite question was, how do I get guys in my parish more motivated and enthusiastic to take their faith seriously? And I like that question because it's clearly coming from a person who understands what it means,
in the church.
What it means to have Christ as the center of your life, you know.
Right.
Whoever asked that question understands the motivation, understands the importance, and how do I share that with somebody else? That is a very difficult thing, because you know, with evangelization, you're asking someone to walk a difficult road with you, and they have to believe you that it's going to be worth the trial,
right? And whenever you know that you have something that's so valuable and that it's available to everybody else, but some people are just don't even know that it's there.
Right.
They don't even know that they have this thing of value, the faith, the church, is available to them.
Yeah.
They don't know that it's there. And so it's like, man, I know what it is. I got to share it with you.
Yeah.
How do I effectively do that to where you realize that this is such a gift?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I really loved about it, is that these men were taking it seriously, taking the role of discipleship seriously, and wanting to know how to be a better disciple. And I think that goes to show, I think that's a testament to the priests in the diocese. Obviously, it starts with the bishop, and then the priests. I mean, they are forming these men to do exactly what they're supposed to do, which is go out and make disciples of men.
That's right. So, well, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and Juan Posada at the Phoenix Airport.
Juan did a great job at the conference as well.
Yeah.
We didn't give him props, but he was there. He helped edit all the audio.
You were helping produce the whole the conference audio.
His production skills are going straight.
Juan, you are really moving up in the world, my friend. Don't
forget us.
Cheers. Yeah, when you make it big, don't forget the little people us.
Like us. Remember who got you the start in the biz.
Yeah.
It was us.
Just don't leave us behind, okay?
Yeah.
Just don't forget about us when you do leave us behind. That's really what
that's
it is.
Yeah, that's more accurate. So we're going to jump right into the topic today. There's an article that I wanted to
discuss. Man gear for today is Boeing 737.
Everybody should have one.
Yeah.
So there was an article that was sent to us by a deacon in the Diocese of Tulsa, Deacon Tim Sullivan, who sent it to us.
Yeah.
And
really good article.
It was a really good article. It's called The Role the role of father, the role of the father according to exorcists.
Yeah, is there an author?
Yes, it was from a book as well. Hold on, let me pull that up. Let me pull up the book because that way they can. It's called Slaying Dragons: What Exorcists See and What We Should Know.
Yeah.
So the article is specifically geared towards the role of the father according to exorcists, and they give 15 points of what the role of a father in the domestic house should look like.
Yeah. And personally, I take the advice or the opinions of exorcists very seriously because for them, they live in a world that there's no question about the reality of evil.
Mm-hmm.
They see it every day, you know, and so when they are saying, hey, this is what you should be doing, and this is how you should exercise your authority as a father, it's because they know this is what you should be doing, you know.
Right.
They can see the effects of those behaviors, whatever it is that they're telling you, they can see how that affects what they're doing in exorcisms, you know, and how, because one of the things about an exorcism is when you're exorcising a demon, you need to get its name. You get the name of the demon, and you try to find
authority.
Out what it was, what is the cause of the possession. You know, if we're talking about a full-blown possession, there's also there's other types of extraordinary influence by the demonic influence, by the demonic spirits, like oppression and obsession.
Right.
But if you're just talking about a possession, you find out why did this happen and what is the name. If you get the name of the demon, now you have some sort of authority over it and you can more easily cast it out. But for them, you know, they're finding out, oh, this is what you did. And after years of doing this, you come to understand how authority works, how God has ordained the hierarchy of authority, and you can, you know, apply those rules to your life, because it really, it almost everything comes back to authority. Whether you're talking about apologetics,
mm-hmm.
it's always the question of authority. Either the church has authority to teach what she does or she doesn't.
Right.
And even when you're talking about the home, or, you know, demonic influences, spiritual warfare, kind of, which is bleeds over. You know, either the father has authority over his children,
mm-hmm.
or he doesn't. So, anyway, that's kind of a long explanation, but
I think it was necessary.
Yeah, when an exorcist says stuff like this, especially one that's experienced, it's worth listening to.
Right, and even Bishop Olmstead at the conference today, yesterday he was talking about, you know, we're in a war, we're in a spiritual war, and if you don't think you're in the war, then you've already lost.
Yeah,
and he said something to the effect of, he said, "The Lord our God has a plan for you, but so does the devil."
Yeah.
So whose path are you going to follow?
Yeah. Yeah, so he just put out a video. There's a new Into the Breach video that was the world premiere this last weekend at the conference. So you might be able to find it online now. The Knights of Columbus are doing like a series.
12-part series.
A 12-part series.
Of Into the Breach.
For men, expounding on the Into the Breach. So go ahead and look that up. But yeah, the line from the video was that God has a plan for your life, but Satan also has a plan for your life. And whose plan are you going to follow?
Right. So let's get into the.
So what? Once again, these are role. What are these?
It's called the role of the father according to exorcists.
Okay, the roles of the father.
Yeah, and the website is theslayingdragonsbook.com.
Okay.
So you can look, theslayingdragonsbook.com. So the first thing he says, which I mean, it's obvious once you read it. It may not be, you may think like the first point's going to be all these, like, okay, here's how, you know, here's how you help your family, here's how you protect your family, you know, something that you do for other people. But obviously whenever you, the first bullet point that he says is living in a state of grace. So
yeah.
Before you can help other people, you have to you have to be in a state of grace. Before
yeah.
you can help your family, you have to be in a state of grace. So it says the first effort as the head of the family is to be the spiritual beacon and light which points every other member to our Lord and his holy church. So by a life free of mortal sin and prompt recourse to the sacrament of reconciliation, the Father will emanate the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ to his family, both actually, since the grace resides within him, and by example, since he will daily grow in holiness into the image of Christ.
Yeah. So what we need to remind, what we need to remember is that in the realm of spiritual warfare, a temptation or what you can kind of accidentally slip into a mindset of is thinking that I am the one by my own actions, you know, because I am blessing my children, because I am putting, you know, using blessed salt or whatever it is, that it's me that's doing something. And we don't do anything. We don't have the power to do anything. It's only by cooperating and submitting ourselves to Christ and his authority that we can have any effect in spiritual warfare. So this is, of course, the number one thing, because remaining in a state of grace is the number one spiritual warfare weapon.
Right.
Because
and it's the same way with priests. It's not like the priests do it. It's always Jesus through the priest.
Right.
You know, so it's not like the priest has the power to forgive sins.
You're right, exactly.
So it's the same thing as the priest.
He does
our
have
home.
The power to forgive sins, but because only, Christ gave it
only
to them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we need to remember that it's an act of submission, that we are really getting out of the way and relying on Christ to do the work for us. That's what's important about staying in a state of grace. You know, it's not something that I'm doing. I'm really just staying as close to him as possible.
Right.
That's why it's effective.
And I think also, we said this before on the show, but it's worth saying again, having your kids see you go into confession is something that has... I mean, one of our intros is Father Jonathan Meyer saying, if you want to be a good father, take your kids to confession with you. Mm-hmm. You know, having your kids see that they know that you've done something wrong and you're going to ask for forgiveness. You're man enough to say, I've done something wrong and I'm seeking Christ's mercy. Mm-hmm. It's the example that you have to set.
Yeah, I mean, and the same thing goes for other things. Like, they should see you pray.
Right.
They should see, you should be demonstrating the scope of your spiritual life to
them. Well, and some of these will go into that.
Okay,
so let's go into number 2.
I don't want to jump the gun.
Yeah. Number 2 is shutting the gates against demons who may enter by means of the Father is number 2.
Yeah.
The father of the family is the shepherd and the gatekeeper of his little flock. He, in his own person, plays a big role in protecting the family from diabolical influences. As the primary authority in the family, if he opens the door to demonic influences, that demon has permission to harass the rest of the family as well.
Yeah.
So it goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning. It has to do with authority.
He's the gatekeeper.
If you give up your authority, now the demons have, now it's a playground for them.
Yeah.
And guess what his playground is? Your family.
Yeah. Your wife and your kids.
Right.
A book I would recommend, it's an easy short read, is called Struck by Lightning. It's about a lady in Colombia, I think. Is that right, Juan? Yeah, Colombia, who got struck by lightning. And anyway, the book, she has documented miracles that happened to her about how her leg was, like, fried and it grew back and stuff. But in there she talks about, she has a near-death experience, and the Lord showed her her father. And how when her father and her mother got married, you know, God gave her father, like, a staff. It's symbolic, you know, in this vision she has. And how her dad was a loving dad, but was also, he would sleep around, you know, as just kind of like, he was machismo kind of guy. And God showed her how he gave his staff of authority to Satan, and how that allowed Satan and demons to influence them as children. And it's a short read, and it's very powerful. Struck by lightning. Yeah.
Obviously, opening the door, it says these doors can be opened through, among other things, mortal sins committed by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, again, it goes back to number one. You have to remain in the state of grace. And if you fall from the state of grace, get your butt to confession immediately.
Right. Yeah, because the sins of the Father affect the children. I mean, it's just like original sin.
Right.
I mean, sin has its community, and there's no community more integral than the family. So if you as the father struggle with certain sins, then those sins might those temptations can more easily pass to your children. Now, I'm not saying that to say blame. It's like, oh, a lot of men struggle with pornography, with an addiction to pornography. Now, that doesn't mean that it's your fault that kid, you know, like, your kids are going to get an addiction to pornography and it's your fault. That's not what I'm saying. But if you let that struggle win, I mean, if you that's your problem and you're not seeing Christ and you fall to that and you fall to that, then you must immediately seek the sacrament of forgiveness.
Right.
And that, then now you're doing your role as the father. Anyway, we'll pick this back up on the other side of the break. Yeah. Find the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Catholic Man Show, sitting here in the Phoenix airport, heading back to Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're talking about roles of the father according to Exorcist. We're pulling this from a website called theslayingdragonsbook.com. We talked about the first two, which were living in the state of grace and shutting the gates against demons who may enter by the means of the father. Number three is, I'm going to jump right into it, if that's okay, Dave.
Yeah.
Number three is blessing the family daily.
Yes.
And that's actually a super easy thing to do.
It is.
I mean, at the end of the night, when you're saying your prayers with your kids, it's a very easy, make the sign of the cross over their forehead and say, may the Lord bless you. Or, you know, I always say, may God bless you and may you always stay in the protection of our Heavenly Mother. Amen. That's what I say.
Yeah, there's not like anything, you know, you can just pray a blessing over your children. I do this a lot, especially when my children are young, when they're infants. You know, you'll have those moments where you're just holding them as a baby, and it is just, you know, just there's just something lovely about holding your own child in your arms, and maybe they're sleeping, and I'll just put my hand on their head, and I'll say a prayer for them, you know, something like, Lord, please give this son of mine or this daughter of mine a heart after yourself. Give them, you know, patience. Give them virtue. Help them pursue you first. You know, it just... whatever it is that you feel moved to say, but there's not like a formula you have to follow. I just say, God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I trace the sign of the cross on their forehead. But if you have kids who are a little older, you might feel a little awkward doing this. Like if you have a 13-year-old son and you've never done this before, you might be hesitant because it's like, oh, he might think that's, you know, is this going to be awkward? Just do it.
Right.
Just say, hey, you know what? I just realized I learned something. I can give you a blessing. And you should be doing that. I bless my kids every night, every morning if they're awake before I leave. And the same for my wife. I bless her every night and every morning. Basically, if I leave the house, I give them one.
Right. And it says that, you know, the blessing of the father brings real protection and peace to his flock.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, obviously, keeping an order and keeping peace within the family is what's going to help you grow in faith and in the love of Christ.
Right.
And so by administering that, you're going to help do that.
And this is really something that is your job as the dad. You have been given this authority, spiritual and natural authority over your children. Why do you think you have it?
Right.
It's so you can use it.
Right.
If you're not blessing your children, you have this gift that you're just not even using.
Right.
You know, because this is the fullest expression of the spiritual authority over your wife and children is when you give them a blessing. So it's something that we should be wielding. It's a power we should wield. It's been given to us by God. And it's, you know, like at our judgment, if something we're not doing, we might be held to account for not failing to bless. I know that there have been priests who have had near-death experiences who have been... reproached by God for not blessing their flock, for failing to offer blessings to their flock. So as a dad, your flock is your children and your wife. We've got to be doing it.
Yep. Number four, ensuring the home is blessed. That's a good one. That's one I have not done this year yet for 2020. I was supposed to on Epiphany and the week of Epiphany. I have not got my house blessed this year. Have you?
I have not. I had it blessed when I moved in.
Right. Me too. And I typically have it blessed every year.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. You don't have to do it, but it certainly is good. I think especially if you have teenage children, it becomes more and more important to use. But you don't have to have a priest do it. You can ask God to bless. You have authority over your wife, kids, and your possessions. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't bless your house in the same way a priest can bless your house, but you can ask God to bless it. And you can also use things like blessed salt, you know, and that will have that's good. That's a good thing to do too. You can do the chalk on a Feast of Epiphany. Mm-hmm. That you can do that yourself. It's still better. Ideally, you have a priest come do it.
Right. But, I mean, the sacramentals of the church are there for our spiritual and material good, and are instituted by the church, which with the authority given by Christ. I mean, the reason why it's there, like you said just a minute ago, Christ gave it to us. Use it.
Right.
Like, you know, it's there for our benefit, so you should
use
it. Okay, so number five, utilizing and teaching about all the sacramentals, especially to your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's important. It's so awesome to see little kids with scapulars on. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, the scapulars are way too big for them. The scapular almost goes down to their belly button. You know, it's like, but it's just so cute to see.
And, you know, why do you think they do that? Because they see their parents do it.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to keep moving because we have a lot to go over.
Okay.
Unless you have anything else you want to say about that?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I do, actually. If you say, like, I don't know much about sacramentals, go to CatholicSacramentals.com.
.org.
.org, thank you. CatholicSacramentals.org. And a buddy of ours runs this website. He has on there all about sacramentals, what they are, how to use them. And so that you can get some great educational resources about sacramentals. Because the topic of sacramentals is fairly broad. Mm-hmm. The sign of the cross is a sacramental. Mm-hmm. But typically when you say sacramentals, we're talking about blessed items. And how to treat them, how to dispose of them.
Right.
So, CatholicSacramentals.org.
Okay. Number six, it says, ensuring the quick acquisition of all the sacraments. So, meaning, you know, don't wait a long time, an excessively long time to get your kids baptized.
Yeah.
You know, don't let your kids go, you know, to 10, 11, 12 years old before they get, you know, have their first confession and, you know.
Yeah, first communion, yeah.
And first communion. You know, make sure that your kids are going and living a sacramental life.
Right, yeah. And I think the thing that happens the most with is baptism. People will often wait months and months to get their kids baptized. There's no instruction by the church on when to baptize them. You're just supposed to have them baptized soon, right? But it's like if you're waiting 6 months, unless there's a reason that you're doing that, and I can't think of a real... Personally, this is just my own opinion. I can't think of a good reason to wait 6 months to baptize your kid. You might say, so-and-so will be in town. Like, if you're waiting 6 months for your family, look, they're just not going to be there.
Right.
That's what I would do. If it was me, and it's like, we have one of my cousins or sister, even a brother or sister, they're coming in. You know, they live in a far away. They'll be here in 6 months. Let's wait. No, I'm not going to wait. My kid's going to be baptized. And it's more important for them to be baptized than for anybody to be present at their baptism.
Right. Okay, number seven is using the binding prayer personally and over the family as needed or discerned. Binding prayers are something that we should have a full topic. I mean, that's a full topic.
Yeah, I agree.
We should have a whole whole show on binding prayers. Father Sean Donovan would be perfect as a guest for that.
Yeah, and I think it's something that's, of all the spiritual warfare stuff, binding prayers are probably the most misunderstood. I think a lot of people just don't know anything about them. Mm-hmm. But I think that's an area that you have to understand what it is that you're doing and who it is that's doing it. Because when you say a binding prayer, you don't bind anything. You only ask Jesus to bind something. In fact...
Let me read this real quick. I think it's good. It says... The binding prayer should be utilized by the Father against every temptation that he personally experiences and against any sinful inclination or suspected temptation that he observes in the family, observes in the members of his family. Mm. So, again, I think that's using these prayers on a regular basis trains the intellect and the will to notice diabolical attacks and resist and renounce those attacks.
Yeah.
So, again, it goes back to training. You know, this is a virtuous thing, you know, to train your mind to get into these habits of realizing reality around you, like what is actually happening around you.
Yeah. And that's something that I need to do more just because, like, sometimes you just don't think, oh, I guess I could pray for that.
Right.
You know, that's sometimes that happens where it's like, oh, my kids are struggling with this temptation, you know, or talking back or envy. Like one thing I see, my middle daughter, Mary, she's 3. She'll compare herself now to Elizabeth, her older sister. If Elizabeth gets in trouble for something, Mary will say, I didn't do that.
Right.
You know, or she'll say, did I get as much as she did? You know, it's a natural little kid thing to do between siblings. But, you know, that's something I could pray about, that this temptation towards envy, I guess, is what it, you know, all of us would be shielded from it. Mm-hmm. But with binding prayers, priests say a different version. There might be one binding prayer, like the Auxilium Christianorum. There's binding prayers as part of the daily prayers. There's a different version that the priests say than what the laymen say, because the priest says, I bind blank.
Right.
Whereas the laymen say, I ask you, talking to Jesus, I ask you to bind blank. Because once again, we don't have priestly authority.
Right.
And so it's just a little bit different. So binding prayer is just something you should look into.
Next one, this says blessing objects that enter the home. I think that's kind of goes back to like sacramentals as well.
So either having them blessed by a priest, or once again, you as the father can, anybody who owns something, if it's your possession, you can ask for it to be blessed by God.
Here's the next one I'm interested to get your thoughts on. It says, number 9 is discerning all objects that enter the home. And I think that's something that, you know, it would be a tough thing to do. I can see, you know, maybe friends that you had a long time ago that you haven't seen in a long time. They fly in to come visit you or something like that. Now their kids are bringing in iPads or, you know, something that, you know, is normal to them and may not be a bad, you know, intrinsically evil or anything like that, but could end up potentially causing harm to your kids, meaning you don't know what they're looking at on the iPad. You don't know, you know, what they're viewing. You don't know if some of the cartoons maybe that they are, that they are watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's pick that up on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Because I do think that's becoming more and more of an issue for families.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. David Niles here with Adam Minahan and Juan Posada. Phoenix Airport, Terminal D. Our plane is now beginning to board, so hopefully we can get this
we'll be fine.
Knocked out. Yeah.
We'll
I know. I'm boarding group C. So,
so am I. Juan's the only one that's in A, so Juan may be in trouble.
Yeah. Anyway, you were asking about discerning objects that enter the home. Man, this is tough. And this is where I think stuff like this is where you really have to know where you stand. As a dad, you have to have made these decisions ahead of time.
I was just about to say, you have to have these conversations with your wife ahead of time so you guys are both on the same page.
Yes.
And you also have her back, like she's backing you up on these things. Because if there's friends or family members that are coming in, you don't want to be the, you know, necessarily the bad guy. But if you both are saying, you know, just let you know when we come. Here's a perfect example. There's a family member of ours who is not married, but they are cohabitating together. They came to stay at our house. Mm-hmm. And I said, we'd love to have you. We want you to come over.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, this is ahead of time before they even came. When you guys get here, you guys will be sleeping in separate rooms.
Right.
That way that it is set, they understand the expectations, they understand where I stand, and I want them to be there. I want you to come. We're making dinner. We're having all this fun stuff together.
Right. Yeah.
But just to let you know, this is what's going to happen.
And with stuff like that, they should expect to play. You know, someone as a guest, if a guest is coming to your house, they should expect to
follow by
understand your rules for your house.
Right.
Okay. But you, as the host, should make those rules clear before you're walking upstairs. You know, like oh, let me take you to show you your rooms, and you know, like they didn't know that was going to be the case. It's like, oh, we packed in one suitcase. You know,
right.
Like, just to avoid, it makes it way better if you say it ahead of time. But, like, let's say you have a family, you know, that's coming over. You know, your kids are getting older. Your sister or whoever is coming over with their kids. and their kids all have iPads.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
You know, like, and they, like, I know plenty of families who their kids travel with iPads. I mean, there's, I have some cousins who, when we get together for Christmas, their kids show up. They all have, like, the Nintendo, we're at Grandma's house for Christmas, and their kids are all in the other room with their Nintendo Switch and with iPads and playing games, you know? And it's like, it drives me crazy. But are you going to allow, maybe you don't allow iPads in your house.
Right.
And I think that's for good. There's plenty of good reason not to let your eight-year-olds have an internet-connected device. So what is the rules that you're going to set? You have to discern because it doesn't matter what the intent is behind the iPad. It still could be a gateway to devastating evil.
Right.
I mean, that is the reason why the first exposure to pornography is getting younger and younger and younger, because children
have access
are being given these devices at, you know, 5 years old.
Right.
You know, it's only a matter of time before something happens with it, you know? Yeah. And they're going to know how to use those devices better than you will.
It's so funny. 10 years ago, I would have never thought that we'd be saying things like this. I feel like we're kind of the old crotchety man.
Yeah, I am getting crotchety when it comes to technology and my children. But the thing is, you have to decide that ahead of time. Because if they just show up and they have iPads and you haven't said, like, this is what would happen to me. If I haven't made a decision about it, I would kind of, like, panic in the moment and be like, you know, and not know what to do. And then end up just, you know, being nice.
Right.
Like, oh, well, they brought them. And because I haven't made that decision, I don't have a stance.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not prepared. You know, so we have to be ready for those kind of decisions. Decide, it's your home. Mm-hmm. They're your kids. Mm-hmm. And even if that means, you know, your family doesn't come over, that is your decision.
The next one, I'm going to kind of gloss over because we've already kind of talked about it, but it says, blocking all evil music and television or toys that enter the home. That kind of piggybacks off of what we've been
so
talking
many
about.
Terrible ideas in music.
The next one is ensuring proper communication and forgiveness in the home, which is, again, kind of like what we were just talking about. You have to make sure that your family is on the same page. They understand where the boundaries are. And when somebody goes past those boundaries, that they see that mom or dad is open arms, ready to forgive them if they're sorry.
Right.
Or if, you know, maybe you said something to your wife that was not as charitable as possible, to publicly, in front of everybody, say, you know, honey, I'm really sorry that I spoke to you that way. You deserve better than that, and I'm sorry for that.
Probably the most common one is you get onto one of your children because you think they were the culprit behind something that happened. And even though, like, because those are your instincts,
right,
they might be right 99% of the time. But every now and then, oh, you didn't do, I'm sorry. Like, you realize, I got you in trouble for that, and it really was your brother or sister.
Like Jude and Elizabeth.
Yes.
Like, so a while back ago,
Elizabeth was teething.
Yeah, Elizabeth was teething, and she started crying.
She just started crying, like a lot of crying, all of, like, out of nowhere, just started crying.
And did she say?
She was sitting right next to Jude.
She said Jude hit her
or something.
Right, and I had been telling Jude, like, listen, we do not hit girls. We don't hit, period, but we definitely do not hit girls. And, man, I wore him. Like, I got onto him big time.
And then we got home, and I was, like, talking to her more, and she said, oh, no, it was just my teeth are hurting. And I went, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I text you. I was like, hey, bro. Yeah.
Jude didn't actually.
You might lay off Jude a little bit. I have some information here. Yeah.
So I had to apologize
to him.
And
yeah.
Not only did I apologize, but I tried to make it up to him. He and I had a day together afterwards to say, like,
that's great.
I told him, like, listen, I'm really sorry.
That's so important for your kids to see you apologize. Because sometimes, you know, you ask your kids to say sorry, and they're like, sorry. But a lot of it is like they just don't know what an authentic apology looks like.
Right. Or how to even accept an apology.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. Ensuring in the home the knowledge of and obedience to all teachings of the church. And this goes back to what we talked about with Father Gregory Pine a long time ago, the virtue of knowledge and studiosity. Is that right? Studiosity.
Studiositas.
Studiositas.
I think that's what it was in Latin.
But it's you know, the responsibility of the father to make sure, if you're the leader of the family, if you're the one who's in charge of getting your kids to heaven, leading your kids to heaven, you need to, in order to do that, you need to know what the church teaches.
Yeah.
You know, and it's your responsibility. And the idea of, oh, I wasn't aware the church taught that, you know, at some point you can't use that excuse.
Yeah, I mean, if you really don't know.
That's one thing. But if you're not reading the catechism or something like that.
You're kind of being intentionally ignorant.
To try not to know exactly what the church teaches, that's not,
if you're
a leader.
If you hear stuff and you're like, oh, that's not like, oh, abstaining from meat on Friday is not that big of a deal. Well, actually, the church requires it of you.
Or some penance.
Or if you're not going to abstain from meat, you need to be doing some other form of penance, on a Friday.
Right.
But, like, that's your job.
Right.
That is your job because you set the rules. Like, in our house, I will sometimes, just remind people, look, we're Catholic. That's in this house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right.
And it's my house.
Right.
I also tell my children that. Like, see all of this stuff? It's mine. I'll tell them anyway, your toys, they're all mine. Everything that you own is mine. Because they'll argue. It's like, she took my toy. And it's like, no, that toy belongs to me. And I am sharing it with you. You know, I just want everyone in this house to know that I own it all. It's mine. Okay? I provide everything for you. The clothes you wear, I gave them to you. The food you eat, that was mine too. Mm-hmm. And I share it with you because I love you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that way, just we're setting the ground rules for who's in charge.
Okay, we only have a couple more. Ensuring proper Catholic cultural and liturgical celebrations throughout the year. That's a fun one. If you guys aren't doing that, it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
On baptism anniversaries, on feast days.
It's more reasons to eat cake. I don't know
cookies,
why that's a hard sell. It's not a hard sell. People just don't think about it sometimes. Like,
right.
It's a feast day. Like, someone's saint day every day. Like, you could literally have cake every day in honor of a different saint.
If you have a patron saint of your family, which I highly recommend doing.
Yeah.
And
if you want to pick Mary or Joseph, you get more feast days out of it.
There you go.
Yeah, throughout the year.
Okay, the next one is avoiding excess and ensuring virtue and moderation in the home. Mm. I think that's a great one. So even, if you allow your kids to watch TV, we need to moderate that.
Yeah.
If you allow your kids to, do certain things that may take them away from reality, in a sense, we need to moderate that.
And we cannot forget that these rules apply to us as well. It's not just about our kids.
You're right.
Because remember what we said, that the sins of the father open gateways to the children. So if we're not moderating ourselves, then those temptations can now pass to our children and make it more difficult for them to learn and exercise the habit of moderation. So we have to look at ourselves in this.
Yep, the father's example is the insistence on living the life of virtue. Self-discipline and moderation will add critical spiritual protection over the family. So it starts with the father. The last one, we're going to make this. Ensuring that the discipline of children is both loving and just. And I think that's very important.
Yep.
I mean, the reason why we discipline our kids is in love.
Because we love them.
And we're trying to form their appetites towards the true, the good, and the beautiful.
Father Ray Guarindi, when he was here, he said something that either you discipline your children or the world will. Because the police don't care whether or not they were disciplined as a children. They will exercise the discipline, and it will be in the jail time or whatever.
Right.
So we have to discipline our children if we love them. The Bible says that God disciplines those he loves. And that the discipline of God is a blessing.
Yep.
And so we have to teach our children virtue.
So if you want to go read these yourself, again, theslayingdragonsbook.com. This has been a lot of fun. This is a first time on the episode. So thank you to everybody in Phoenix. The hospitality was wonderful. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by a few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran. and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.